You're listening to Sideshow Network.
Oh my God. Welcome to our podcast, Mouth Time.
I'm Div.
I'm Quan.
And none of you listen to the podcast. That's fine.
That's fine.
Give it up if you do.
Give up if you do.
Oh, I get it. You're just like well-behaved in general.
Cool, cool. So if you're listening to this right now, it either means that you're in a room with us or it means that you pre-ordered Reductress's book, How to Win at Feminism.
Thank you for... No, keep going.
No.
You guys can't
see
this. You guys can't see this
because
it's a podcast, but there are people in the room and we embody physical bodies.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, because like my whole thing is like, I don't know. I don't have any object permanence. I'm like a baby, but like very drunk. So it's like,
yeah,
I don't know. When I hear someone's voice on the phone, I'm like, are they just sort of a glowing cloud?
And like for me, my thing is that I don't have enough permanent objects. Like I just feel like constantly I'm giving things away and it's like, where did they go?
Yeah.
But that's why I have philanthropies, because I'm charitable. Anyway, we're just going to launch right in to this PCAST. That's short for podcast.
Yeah, you can't see it because it's a podcast, but the O and the D were hiding.
Yeah. Open wide, it's Mouth Time!
With Reductress.
I'm Quan.
And I'm Deb.
And we're just two girls.
To share what our heads are thinking.
By moving our mouths.
Just like that.
On today's episode, here's what we're going to be mouthing about. We're not leaning in. We're leaning up.
We just got back to New York and the office is freezing.
We played Two Truths and A Cry for Help.
And a spooky experience where a bunch of women in the same room painted the exact same picture while drinking wine.
Ooh.
What's that about?
What is it?
I have chills.
We also have some amazing guests. We have Nina Bluss, a children's social media consultant.
Plus, we talked to comedian and host of Tinder Live, Lane Moore.
We're editors of Reductress, the only source for women's style, news, entertainment, life advice, inspiration, and dainty sidelong glances.
A lot of shoulder work in there, too.
Yeah. Okay, so welcome to Mouth Time. We are
back in New York.
For any
Wow, yes.
Thank you so much. For anyone who's been listening, you know that for the entire summer, we have been trapped in L.A.
Trapped in L.A. Sorry. Are the lights getting dimmer or am I passing out?
No, you're both. It's both.
Okay.
Okay, so here's the deal. We recently found out that planes aren't a thing just from movies, they're real. And we also found out that you get one plane in your whole life, or at least that's what we assume.
We found out something that we knew.
We knew it,
and then we found out that we knew it, and then we found out that that was incorrect. You can take many planes.
Apparently you can take many planes, but, you know, too little too late, because we took our one plane to LA, and we were like, I guess we're stuck here.
Yeah.
And it's just, it was tough. Here's the thing. You're looking for an exit sign, and there's all these exit signs, but there's never an exit sign about how to exit LA.
Yeah. We didn't know how to get out.
And then finally, a nice man came up from behind and chloroformed us and put in the back of his van. So we just want to say, thank you.
Like, I don't know if that was Uber pool or just sort of like a informal barter society sort of thing.
You know, at a certain point, you've put out so many requests to the universe that they're going to send it to you in the form of a criminal.
Yeah. And the cool thing for me, like with that whole experience, which like, is it a traumatic experience? Like, sure. But like for me, it was just like refreshing to know that like, oh my God, I still have like a very low tolerance for chloroform, which is crazy.
You were like mostly awake for the entire time, even when he was maybe performing a surgery on us. Both of us are missing teeth.
It's like, what is surgery though? You know, like what qualifies?
Well, I think it's when something is performed on your body with a scalpel.
Well, then I have surgery every day.
Okay.
Wink. I said wink when I winked because it's a podcast.
Totally. No one can see it. Not even the people in this room. That's how podcasts work.
We are under the impression that you can't see us.
If we're recording a podcast, we're invisible. And that's hard for us because we love to be seen.
And honestly, like, being in New York for me is just like coming home because I live here, if that makes sense.
For me, like, New York is like a return of sorts because it's from whence I came.
I totally get that.
Does that make sense?
No, totally. It's like, it's sort of like the opposite. It's like if you play a video of someone rubbing a genie's lamp in reverse, and it's like the genie going back.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's like. Except.
But you're the lamp, right?
Yeah. And New York is the genie. Because it's, I put it in my body.
Yeah.
I'm legally married to the Empire State Building, and I don't want to talk about it, so please don't ask me.
Wait, why are you married to the Empire State Building?
I said don't ask.
Ugh, I forgot. I'm really bad with boundaries.
What are you doing in New York that we couldn't do in L.A. because it was L.A.?
Mostly, like, well, for people who listen to the podcast, you'll know that I have a boyfriend. His name is Chab.
Give it up for Chab.
Give it up for Chab.
He couldn't be here because he is...
Because I didn't let him come.
Yeah. Well, he's very busy putting together and taking apart over and over the same IKEA bookshelf.
Every time he does it, I just look at it and I go, that doesn't look right. And he points to the picture of it next to it so I can see both, so I can understand that they're the same.
He's like a little man.
Yeah, and then I just go... You told me to tell you how I feel, and this just feels wrong. And then I start crying, and then he goes, I'll build it again. But the IKEA screws are so cheap that he's stripped them, so now it takes him hours at a time to assemble and disassemble.
It's crazy he still has enough time to be a surf model.
Yeah, that's when you both surf and are a model, but yeah, not at the same time.
It's crazy how many people... Don't know. And I just want to throw a big shout out to the head of my sexual polyglot amorous relationship, Din. He's not here also because he is sort of, you know,
under house arrest.
He's under house. And it's sort of like, what is a court order? You know, like.
Right.
So he's at home. So if you're watching this, go to bed. You have to stay in your bedroom.
Yeah. Yeah, but
also,
like, but it's like those types of things that are so good to do now that we're back. Like, we couldn't have done that when we were in LA. In LA, we just like were handed all these foods that were called smoothies. Everything was called a smoothie.
Both of our teeth. I mean, the guy removed teeth from our mouth, which was like, that feels like more of a him thing.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't blame myself for other people's behavior.
My teeth did not do anything wrong.
But
that was him.
But it's also like, I get it. Because like in LA, everything's a juice or a smoothie.
Yeah. To him, assuming that he was from LA, he must have looked at teeth and honestly thought, what's their function?
Yeah, like, you should have veneers. But it's like, what do the veneers go on? And then he just says, like, it's quiet down back there, you know?
Yeah.
But also,
oh my god, that was like his catchphrase.
That was his catch. Honestly,
that's what we learned in LA. Like, a lot of people have catchphrases.
Yeah, it's like you got to know what your gimmick is. Like, we were staying, like, sure, were we staying mostly above a juice generation?
Yes.
Did we try to leave the block at all?
No.
I went to the La Brea Tar Pits a couple times a day, but that was it. I didn't go anywhere.
Well, but that was like a religious time for you.
Yeah,
you were worshiping there.
Yeah, I'm like, I have to pray 5 times a day at the La Brea Tar Pits if I want to. Like, that's my thing.
And my religion is that I have to keep checking my bank accounts to be like, is this enough?
And it always is.
Yeah, the weird thing is it's always like almost too much.
The weird thing is, like, you know, if you've never wanted for anything, but then like you're in the mood for something, then what, you know?
Then you're like, well, what do I do? And then usually a man just brings it to you because you texted a courier to bring it.
Seems like
it's weird how stuff like that works. I believe in fate.
It's mostly, I think that's like kind of specific to you, but
I don't know for sure.
Cause you're very tiny and small.
Yeah, for those of you who can't see, because this is a podcast, I'm so small I can barely even fit on the stool because while everyone was filing into the room, I was here literally with a pickaxe climbing up. Someone was belaying me up so I can make it onto the stool.
Yeah.
Because I'm so GD petite. I just And they wouldn't shrink the room because they said it's illegal, which I put in quotes because you can't see because it's a podcast.
It's a podcast, yeah. So if you felt like a mosquito bite before, that was just Quinn's pickaxe.
I literally ordered a pretzel before here, and then I went to sleep in the crook of the pretzel because it was so big.
It was so sexy.
Thank you so much. So anyway, LA was hot. LA was back in LA. We're back in New York.
Oh my God, I got so scared when you said that.
I got so scared too.
Can you imagine? I'm like so excited for chewing.
Yeah. It's really cold in the office.
That's my thing, is that like it's really cold in the office.
Well, it's kind of all of our things because we're all in
the
office.
But like for me, like when I'm there, it's like, oh my God, I'm cold.
Okay, well, I guess my thing when I'm in the office is, oh my God, I'm as cold as Div is.
Sure, but that's sort of like, you know, like you can just be your own person, you know, like if a room is cold, like one person can be cold and claim that as their thing. And like, you don't have to jump on that bandwagon, like just because I'm a strong personality doesn't mean that everyone has to like yield to me the way that a mushroom will take on the flavor. I took a lot of mushrooms before, so it's going to be like...
I literally didn't hear all of that because I was fantasizing about Chab giving me tiny, dainty kisses on my temple. Over Gross. And over again. That's the only way I allow him to physically express affection to me, unless it's a Tuesday and I'm in the mood.
For me, I like to get beaten with a cricket bat and accused of treason. That's sort of my first base.
I'm telling you, I won't do it for you because I can't lift up the bat. I'm tiny.
Well, then you're saying no to our friendship.
I don't understand why me.
So anyway, it's weird that it's so hot outside, but like so cold in our office. Like all the cold came in the office to hibernate because it's hot out.
I feel like Jack Nicholson in The Shining.
Oh my God, right? Like at the end where he was frozen?
No, at the beginning, he's like really cold towards his wife.
So cold. So frigid. It made me so sad. It was like, oh my God, like they're stuck with each other.
Yeah.
This is the 70s. It was like divorce was illegal back then, you know?
Yeah. You like had to like marry someone younger if you got remarried, but only if you were a man.
It was a whole thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, we brought some of those outdoor heat lamps to put inside the office since we got back.
And so far, I mean, they've been working because only one sex turn caught fire.
Yeah. And like, that's not bad at all, which is why we always say no synthetics in the office. Okay. Cotton, linen,
silk.
That's all the ones that we
you
could
can
not
do.
Wool.
Yeah.
Don't wear wool.
Wear polyester.
Don't. You know? Or we'll set you on fire because it's gross.
Yeah. Or you'll catch on fire because it's gross.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of office drama, that brings us to our theme for today.
Leaning up. It's like leaning in, but better for your posture.
It's like being assertive, but taking care of you.
Leaning up is like dressing for the job you want because you already took that job from someone else and it's your job now.
It's sort of like dating up. Instead, you take a job that you don't really have the skills for and it's definitely trial by fire.
But mostly it's about going up high. Yeah. And like the higher up you get physically, the better you can reach all the special computers so that you can hack them and then find the resume of someone who works there and put your name on that resume and bring it in when you go in for an interview and tell them that your uncle owns the company.
My uncle owns Nabisco.
Right. But this is like if he didn't and you said he did.
Oh, but he does. He's like always bringing over crackers.
Did you ever like turn that connection into a job at Nabisco?
No, I wanted to intern with their PR department, but my mom said the people who work there were too salty or something from the crackers, I guess.
Yeah.
Honestly, crackers are dry.
They are. And
they
You're so small that if any sort of salt or dryness got near you, it would
bowls me over like the boulder in Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
A movie that I haven't seen and refuse to see no matter how many times Chap says, please.
Yeah, it's cute. She's too small for movies.
I'm too small for movies. I can't reach.
She can't. So like there's a lot of ways that you can lean up. Something that I recommend is taking career risks, like constantly asking your office if you could be moved to a higher floor. Yeah. You know, you're leaning up, like it's like, you know, if let's say you're on the fifth floor and you're
too
building
low.
It's too low.
Too
like,
low.
I don't care if that's the top floor. Like, go to the roof.
Go to
you
the
know
roof.
What I mean? And it's like, if they can't go to the 26th floor, which is the ideal number, because it's like not too old, but like not too young.
Yeah. It's like you could still be in college, but like also you might be a CEO.
Or you could be like a homeowner.
But you could be a homeowner.
And like even if your office like won't go up there because it's like taken and not for rent.
Get a ladder.
You can get a ladder. You can like get an internship at that company.
Yeah.
And then do double time so that you can be higher up.
People are always saying, but what if I'm already on the roof? And it's like, get a ladder, jump. Get on the ladder, jump off the ladder. What are you doing? It's like when you tell yourself no, gravity is going to follow suit. Gravity's not going to be like, oh yeah, I believe in you when like you don't believe in yourself. That's not how laws work.
I literally can't tell you how many times I looked the laws of physics in the face and said, what?
Yeah. Okay, here's another way you can lean up. Don't be a people pleaser. Be a people pleader. Plead with people to carry you on their shoulders because you have to lean up as high as you can. For example, me. I'm tiny. I can't even get up one stair, okay? I don't have all day. I have a coffee date at 2. You know what I mean? So for me, it's like, get me on your shoulders. I'll perch on the back of your ear and then take me up the stairs and drop me off gently. I don't understand. Like, that's how I'm going to progress. That's how I'm going to become president of Reductress, or at least the prime minister.
You could totally be prime minister.
Honestly, I think I could because I think that I'm pretty enough. I was going to say something else, but that's literally why I think I can do it.
No, you're definitely pretty enough.
I don't know what other type of qualifications you would need because you have a Reductress parliament to like do all like the stuff for you.
Yeah, and they all go,
because they're, you know, they're weathered by time.
They're weathered by
physically.
Another way to lean up is just remember this metaphor. Your career is a jungle gym.
Not a ladder.
Okay? But you do need a ladder to get up higher if like the jungle gym is up high and you don't feel like starting at the bottom, you can make your own bottom.
I can't stress this enough. Your career isn't a ladder. The ladder is a ladder.
And we're talking like a physical ladder also. Like, we don't want anyone to think that this is a metaphor.
No, this isn't a metaphor,
but like it's also figurative. Literal. I don't know. Sorry. I did a lot of butt chugging before this.
It's totally okay.
So you chug out of some. You do need to buy a ladder. Where can you buy a ladder?
Home Depot.
Ladder Store. Amazon.
Your dad.
Amazon Pantry. You know?
As soon as he gets back from his business trip, he said he's coming home on Friday.
She's been saying that for 4 years.
Okay. He's coming home on Friday. Okay. This Friday. Okay. So here's another thing that's going to get you leaning up. Don't be afraid to fantasize about your career. Just be afraid of falling off of the ladder on top of a roof on top of someone else's shoulders.
While jumping.
Yeah. That's what you really have to be afraid of because, say it with me, it's not safe. It's risky, which is part of having a good career, mm-hmm. but it's definitely not safe because it's like literally a fast track to death.
Yeah, you know? And like when we say be afraid, it's like don't be afraid.
Yeah, like don't be afraid.
Know that it's there, but then like when you get near it, like use the fear as sort of like an aphrodisiac and like shove it all the way down to your root chakra. And then like, you know, like if you're in the hospital, you can just tell them like, hey, my root chakra is fine. You don't have to check it.
Yeah. And they're going to
say. Does this make sense?
Honestly, not at all.
Good. But, good. I just want to make sure it didn't make sense.
Yeah. Totally.
So you can also, another thing you can do is like a lot of people achieve goals better when you have a group to do it with and you have some sort of accountability.
Totally.
So you can start a lean up circle where all of you can just sort of sit on each other's shoulders so that people can take turns leaning up the highest.
Yeah. This is good as long as you're the last person to be up high because when you're the last person to be up high, you can like put some super glue to the bottom of your dress and then that way they never can let you down.
Yeah, like, I mean, for me, like, I really take inspiration from working communally because, like, my spirit animal is coral in mm-hmm. that, like, I'm often stolen by divers. And also I'm dying.
I think that my spirit animal is like an otter because I will only hold hands and I do like to crack open nuts on my belly.
It's so cute. You have to see it.
Honestly, it's so cute. You have to see it. My slick little body cracking open notes.
Okay. So, So that's leaning up.
Yeah.
So we, I don't want to brag, but we do have a book coming out.
Okay, it's a little bit of a brag. Everyone clap.
It's a little bit of a... Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's called How to Win at Feminism. And then there's like a subtitle, but it's like, I'm too hot to read small words.
Okay.
So...
A guide to getting it all and then some, okay?
Yeah.
Are you happy now?
Fine.
Are you happy now?
Are you happy now?
Are you happy now?
Are you happy now? You know?
Yeah.
But so, like, basically, like, there has been, I don't want to say a backlash.
Okay.
But it's, is this the thing where you do something and then someone responds?
Negatively. Yeah.
So we have a lot of questions from our readers because our book is started as a website and then it was a podcast and now it's a book and people are just sort
people
of.
People are like, I don't get it.
Like, yeah.
People
you know, it's like a lot.
My brain is smaller than like, Div.
So we're just going to.
But we love our fans.
We love our
fans. We love our fans.
We love our fans.
We love our fans. So basically, we asked for some cues, that's short for questions, from some of our PORs, pre-order readers.
Also poor people.
Yeah, par. It's, I thought at first that POR stood for like that thing that you put on your sink to make people believe that you care about the purity of your water. But that turns out that's a different thing.
It's a different thing.
Anyway, so we got some questions from some pre-order people and we're just gonna answer them because they won't shut up.
Okay. And it's like, why would someone opt into this POR audience? It's like, oh, because if you do, you get
a free tote bag. If you pre-ordered our book, you get a free tote.
You show us proof. We give you a tote bag.
And let's be clear, we're not gonna take you at your word, okay? You have to show us proof.
We go by Scout's honor. Scout is the dog in our office and she doesn't understand anything. So
we just don't
when you say something, we won't listen.
We won't listen, yeah. We will smell it because that's kind of how Scout like perceives honor.
And I personally might shove my nose in your crotch if you are menstruating. But that's like, you know, that's a Scout thing.
But honestly,
too.
You're like, you're always right. So it's like, how can we blame you when we're in awe of you?
Usually people cycle with me when they hang out with me for more than 15 minutes. Okay, so we have questions. Okay,
first question.
Will there be men on call to tell me how I should feel about this book? Great question. Yes, we will have a phone bank running 24 hours a day forever.
Yeah, it's like I've heard of these. It's like you go in and you're like, I'm married to this man, but I don't like how he looks. And so then you give you like little vials and like a drop and you stick it up your vagina. And then you get to have.
No, that's a sperm bank.
Yeah. So it's mostly men who do we're going to ask them like how they feel about the book.
Yeah. It also will probably be in a sperm bank because my friend is the landlord of one and they have this room that they're just like not using. You can just call it. It'll maybe be a toll free number if we can figure out how to do that.
Don't count on it. Don't hold your breath.
So if you're like, oh, am I allowed to like a book that's like written specifically with a female audience in mind instead of just like consuming media that's like default made for men and just reading over the shoulder of your husband about every single thing, every book, TV show, movie, newspaper, article, everything. Song.
Div, wake up.
Sorry, was I talking in my sleep again?
Yeah.
So awkward. Basically, like this is it okay that this book is made for women? The answer is yes. It's a hesitant
yes. It's like we think so.
Like we're actually not sure.
You like have to pre-order it or buy it because like otherwise we literally won't know.
We won't.
It could be a massive failure. You have to tell us. Do you understand what I'm saying? Blink once if you understand.
It's a podcast. We can't see them.
Yeah. Just text me if you blinked once. Okay. Here's the next question. I've been thinking about starting a bullet journal. Advice?
Okay. This is not related to the book.
We are like totally anti-gun, so no. Okay. Will men ever be as funny as women?
Answer, yes.
Yes.
Once we redefine what funny means, like could funny mean nurturing? Yes.
Like men will be as funny. Men will be as funny as women when they are like, listen, let me hold that for you.
Yeah.
Or then, it's like, then I'm like, I'm listening.
Or it's like if you tweet like, I'm sick because my shaman bailed on me and they're like, oh, I'll bring you soup, you know?
Also, one thing, like just a suggestion for men out there who want to be as funny as women. Here's a little phrase you guys can use. Just kidding. That way I can know what you're doing. Okay.
Yeah.
You can start out small. Okay. Let me see the strings. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just say something, then say, just kidding, so I know it's a joke.
Pull back the veil.
Pull back the veil.
Let us in on your process.
Let us see you fail.
Next question. Okay. My boyfriend feels like his masculinity is slowly being taken from him when he wears my state champion women's basketball team tank around campus. I don't get it. Why can't he support my feminist achievements and maintain his manly self-concept at the same time?
Dump him.
Dump him.
Okay, sorry.
It's also like you're in college and the only people who marry their college boyfriends are like Duggars, I think. Like, yeah. I don't know. Like,
honestly, the fact that, okay, so I have two things to say. The first one is like, this sucks. If he can't accept your like success as a women's basketball player, then he can shove it somewhere, because the fact is that you are successful and he needs to re-embrace a new definition of masculinity. Also, my second thing is, why the heck is he wearing his clothes? Why is he that small? He should be bigger than you, you know?
Yeah. The other thing is like, you know, don't go to school.
Yeah.
You know, like you don't need a college degree. Like a college degree, like, is just not, it's not what it's worth. Like our grandparents, like by the time they were four,
yeah,
they were bombs. Like bodies were used as bombs. And like, we just like live in this like gig economy.
And we like don't even know.
We're never going to be homeowners. You know, yeah. Like we're not going to have a mortgage. We're just going to take Ubers around.
Everyone's, like, yeah.
Everyone, and it's just like, yeah. And it's just like, yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Totally.
You're just fitting me into a box that I don't fit in, and it's like I'm not dead yet. Like just because I live in a coffin factory doesn't mean you can shove me in a box.
She might be a prezi presidente.
I hope that helps.
Okay.
Okay, next question.
I still like the color pink, but is that a problem?
I don't see color.
I don't really either.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know how to answer this question. I would say like, no, it's like not a problem, but it's also like,
also like, where are you from?
Yeah. And also like, if you're still working in like the primary, secondary and tertiary colors, it's like, how many drugs are you even taking?
Right.
You know?
Cool.
Get your shit together.
Yeah. Next question.
Okay. If I wear a strap-on or tape a cucumber to my thigh, will I be able to break through the glass ceiling? Answer. Yes.
Literally, I've been writing Hillary Clinton every day for the past 100 years, and I don't know what it will take. Just strap a cucumber to your thigh.
Just
they'll
do
let
it.
You walk right in.
You don't have to raise any fun.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, for me, it's like, I've been punching through skylights since I was a baby.
That's true.
Because to me, it is a glass ceiling.
Well, it was really more that your dad was throwing you in the sky really high and you kept banging into the roof.
My dad is, he's the guy from the Man on Wire documentary.
Yeah.
Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah.
My dad is true. So like, yeah, it's just sort of like, you know, like if you go through...
Then your dad will let him total one of his cars.
Yeah. So.
Okay, next question. Do you think women can learn to be funnier?
Absolutely.
Shove a dick up your ass. I don't know.
Shove a dick.
Sorry. Whoever asked this question can...
I would say, like, shove a dick up your ass. You know? It's like...
It's like, the thing is like, there's so many questions in the world that like we can't answer for you. Every woman is different. So the only way that you can know is if you shove a dick up your ass.
And then think about it.
Because there's a dick. Does everyone follow me?
Is everyone follow-
up your
and
ass?
Honestly, Gwen, like, can I say, like, I so value this workplace where they have such diverse opinions because like you and I are so different. Whereas
We're so different.
You, the answer is like shove a dick up your ass. But for me, it's like, Shove a dick up your ass. Like, just do it. Like, anything sexual that people do, they do it because it feels good. So, like, try it.
Yeah,
it
means,
know?
Yeah, mine's more of like a step by step. Like, step one, shove a dick. And then number two, up your ass.
And that's how.
Yeah. Okay, next question.
Okay.
Favorite book besides this one and why? Say it with me.
One, two, three.
Catcher in the Rye.
Sorry. Mine is this book written by that dolphin that fucked that lady. It's
incredible. And what's it called again? Dolphins are so smart.
They're so smart.
One literally wrote Catcher in the Rye.
It's true. And that's why John Lennon was inspired to go live with the dolphins.
I love that story. Seriously.
So beautiful.
And that's honestly why they decided to put the 50th star on the flag.
Wait, why?
Because John Lennon was like, I've had it. I'm going to go live with the dolphins. And America was like, we need to catch up. So they were like,
take me through that one more time. I just want to make sure I'm getting it because I'm like not about school.
It's a simple cause and effect.
I was unschooled. So if you could just explain.
Sure. Okay. So I'll take you through it one more time. A woman swam with the dolphins.
Right.
You with
I
me
know
so
that.
Far? John Lennon heard about it. John Lennon heard about it. He was like, I'm in. He himself went to go live with dolphins, and America took that as a threat. It was a threat. And they were like, we have to do something drastic because one American is out. It's outpacing.
Was John Lennon a citizen?
Yeah. And he was like running for president too. And they were like, we have to do something. And they were like, 49 states isn't enough. And that's when they literally brought in Puerto Rico. And so they put the 50th star in the flag and they were like, we don't even have any room. So that's why there's one star that dangles off the edge of the flag. And if you put the flag too high in the sky, it'll whip around too much and the star will fly off. And that's why Puerto Rico is like having a time.
Hope that helps.
And that's our favorite book. That was the question
that
I was
answering. That was our favorite book.
Okay, next question. What are some of the non-human origins of femininity?
Oh my God, so glad you asked. Obviously bonobos, because yeah. Like they just sort of like bang.
Yeah.
And that's all I know about. Like, I don't know if it's a mammal or like what it is, like technically, like per se. Like, yeah. I don't like quite, like, I don't want to like put them in a box, but it's like.
I think that most women, I speak for most women when I say that when we get a good old look at an elephant, we think we can be stronger.
We can. And also, like, if that elephant had, like, at minimum 6 spliffs every day, like, maybe she wouldn't remember where the mud puddle was.
Yeah. I just think it's, like, so sad that elephants have to have 2 penises coming out of their face. It, like, seems so hard that you have to reproduce by putting your face in someone else's butt area.
Yeah, it's pretty rude. But it's also, like, sort of punk. Like, if you think about it.
That's so true.
Hope that helps.
Hope that helps. Okay. And then the last question. What do you think is the most important issue facing self-identified women today?
The biggest thing for me is, like, my trash is, like, overflowing and, like, none of my roommates are taking it out.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't want to take it out because it's, like, I'm already late.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true for all women.
I want to take the trash out. Yeah, like, my specific, I mean, that's, if I'm not a woman, then, like, you know, what
am
I?
You are. You are. I think for me, one of the hardest things about women is like when you have had a candle burning for a long time, you try to move it and the glass is really hot.
Yes.
And you're like, there has to be a better way because like you actually like need to get that candle out of the way. And even if you blow it out, which is not what you're trying to do, you
no,
want the candle
want
to keep burning. It like still stays hot for like a while afterwards.
Yeah.
And like, I think once we figure that out, we'll basically be set forever.
Yeah. Okay. So we just wanted to clear some stuff up about the book. So
yeah,
we're glad
thank
we
you
could
so much.
That.
We're
thank
so glad.
You.
Yeah.
I think it's time for us to bring out our first guest. We are so super excited
for. This is like lit our favorite segment.
Yeah.
Okay. Our first guest is an under 12 social media consultant. She helps develop personal brands for children around the country.
Please welcome Nina Blood.
Yes.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
Ah!
Did you want to plug in?
No, I mean, I'm good. It's juicing backstage.
Because people can't see this because this is a podcast,
it's a podcast.
But you literally have a phone charger just around your neck like a scarf.
I think of it more as a stethoscope. We're all experts, and just because I'm not saving lives, literally, doesn't mean the work I do isn't important. Everyone needs to know. So always be charging ABC.
So that's why you wear it around your neck?
Yeah.
Is because that's what people do with stethoscopes when they're doctors?
Yeah, they want to show off. So am I. So I do that.
Amazing.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. We're so fucking thrilled to have you.
We're so effing thrilled.
Oh, right. Sorry. You work with children, so we can't curse in front of you because otherwise they won't be able to read anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So you have helped thousands of children establish a social media presence before many of them have learned to ride a bike. What is it about social media that can teach children as they're developing and finding themselves?
Such a good question. I really think the big thing for children's social media is that if you don't make your own story, someone will make it for you. You need to get ahead of it. And if you are not tagging, you will be tagged.
That's huge.
Wow.
Yeah, that also explains why you encourage a lot of your clients to, in fact, burn their baby books.
Right.
Because you feel like it's branding that's coming from the outside.
Absolutely. I think content is ephemeral and we should burn all books.
Amazing.
Except for ours.
Why is it so important for the under six set to have a social media presence?
Okay, I don't want to get emotional when I answer this one, but I will. Okay.
I have to.
Okay. I've seen kids.
No, you don't have. We're saying you don't have to.
I've seen kids who don't have access to social media in my work. They don't have. They didn't grab their handle. They don't have their URL. And I think about them. I think about how my work is so important because everyone deserves a presence. Are you okay?
Right. And why? But why do they have to be kids? Like, why can't they start when they're, you know, 18?
Old.
Eight old.
Can you imagine? That's like, okay. I mean, do you guys use Snapchat?
Yes.
I use it mostly to send other people's dick pics to strangers.
Oh.
I use it for private communications between me and my horses.
Oh, and your wealth manager.
Yeah, my wealth manager. He can't have things in permanent writing. It would be too risky.
It's in the Caymans. We're just so excited to, like, you're, like, really helping children. You believe in the autonomy of technological childhood.
Yes.
That's something that you invented.
Yes. Yes.
Basically, like, John Maynard Keynes of, like, a baby trying to tweet and being unable to because they do not have fine motor skills.
Yes. I'm not sure if you're aware of Harlow's monkey studies, which were these seminal studies where...
Wire mother?
Wire mother. They right. put this monkey with a wire mother and a cloth mother, and I like the cloth mother, whatever. Well, I'm doing that at home with a phone. I'm trying to create a healthy attachment to phones.
Wait,
for children.
With human babies?
With my own human baby.
Oh, your baby.
Your
my baby.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. And his name is Taco Bell Official. I'm trying to make him content aware and device friendly. And
wait, your child's name is Taco Bell Official?
Yeah. We call him Toc.
That's kind of cute.
Isn't that brand already taken by the official Taco Bell?
You'd be surprised what we grabbed when he was born. And that's why I'm here, you know? Grab those handles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do have shirts for sale after the show that say hashtag grab those handles.
Hashtag grab those handles.
Yeah. So, like, not to get into the controversy too much, but a lot of people talk about just letting kids have a childhood. Mm. Could you please tell us why that is incredibly stupid and wrong?
Because, yeah. Like, my mom made a MySpace for me, but people stopped using it by the time I learned how to read.
Mm.
Yeah. And, like, we had this camcorder, which was, like, it was like a machine. And, like, they would make... I had my own reality show that, like, it never aired, but it was, like, we have footage of me just, like, doing my thing as a kid and, like, even as a baby.
Wasn't that just, like, a popcorn machine?
Yeah, but also, like, you know, we could eat that. That's content.
That's true.
Is this making sense?
Yeah, for sure.
Good.
This makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so, like, could you tell us, like, what do you say to people who think that children should just, like, do what they are?
I'd say wake up. It's 2016. You've got to monetize. I don't know what you're thinking. And you're too late already if you're asking the question because content moves quick and you got to catch up. And these kids are running. They run fast and you got to catch them.
And what do you like? I know that you are specifically like going down to shut down the athletics departments in a lot of elementary schools and like remove recess and replace it with like free tweet time.
Free tweet time.
So like when you say that children are running, like you don't mean physically, like you're fighting to have our kids more screen time. Like for you, like how many hours a day do kids use screen time and how many do you think they should?
So right now I think they do it about like 18 to 20 and I'm trying to bring it down to 20, like get 24 hours because with my son Taco Bell Official, I've put a screen in his bed and I have it flash to keep him up. I just really want to make sure that he loves his phone.
Now Taco Bell Official has over 12 million followers on Snapchat.
Right.
How, How did you build that type of a following when Taco Bell official could not read or write?
Some people have said that I did it, which is not true. I did nothing. He did it all himself. But it's also curating content. And the fact that his name is Taco Bell official, I think a lot of people think it's the restaurant chain.
Yeah, that definitely, I think that'll that's definitely it. A good guess.
But I'm not saying it is that. It's just my, it's a contributor. No, yeah.
It makes so, a lot of sense.
And you do kind of a mix of personal and corporate posts for it being a baby. Like sometimes it's a picture of your baby and sometimes it's just a picture of a chalupa. How do you find that balance?
That's great. We have a content mix, yeah, that like really keeps people guessing. We've noticed that people who follow it are kind of stupid. And when they, we're trying to slowly ease my Taco Bell official into the content more and more so that he is comfortable in front of a screen, in front of people, and they're comfortable with him. And it's just so exciting to be a mom.
Yeah. Like, how do you guys spend time together as a mom and a kid? Not with social media. Like, what do you do when you're not engaging?
I don't think I can recall a specific instance right now on the spot where that ever happened.
Interesting. Yeah.
But like when we have to power down on the plane, when they say put your phones away, and we do, just kidding, we don't. We usually make eye contact and I say, you better make me some money off this baby. And he looks at me like, it's not a screen. And he's very confused.
Interesting. Now, you don't just work with your own son, you work with other children. Yeah, and you also work with children who have undergone trauma. How do you exploit that trauma?
Yeah. So you say exploit trauma, but for me, it's really just leveraging stories. I don't see the difference. So if you have pain, it's really how do we get from point pain to point monetization for this child and show them that the way out of pain is always to make content and then make money off it. I don't see any other way. So
yeah, no, I follow Gerald B on Insta.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I love his whole like blackout week that he's doing where he recreates getting bit on the hand by a goose.
Mm-hmm.
It's been so moving for me. A murder victim. And like is really helping me move past my murder and like. Oh. Because we all just walk around with this trauma and like maybe it's a goose bite in your hand. Maybe it's like getting murdered. You
right,
know, like you
right.
don't know unless yeah. you tell.
Unless and like, you tell the story.
Yeah.
You've helped launch just dozens of web series about children's divorces,
yes.
their parents' divorces.
Yes.
And some would say that that's actually, it's incredibly damaging. But you seem to think that it's just one step to healing.
It's one step to healing. My web series, Sad Babies.
Yeah,
which is
love it. Oh my god,
it's
binge
so
watch.
Good. Yeah. It's so real. It doesn't even look like acting. It looks like these babies are crying.
Yeah, and like, and not even crying. Like they're just like quiet.
Yeah.
And they look fine.
It's
you
like,
know, but they're not.
But like, yeah, sometimes the baby looks what's the word? Panicked. Yeah, the baby looks panicked. Like something has gone just
horribly
wrong. Like
right.
we can't even conceive. It's like abuse. It's like borderline abuse, and we're watching the baby react.
Thank you for saying that.
And it's great because, like, so many people were afraid to take that toddlers and tiaras one step forward, and you were like, nope.
Yeah. There's so many questions. It's like, is this exploiting a child? Is it not? Like, should we be doing that? And I'm like, let's just move forward. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, like,
full speed ahead.
It's like 16 and pregnant. Why not 4 and, you know,
very upset.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
4 and Very Upset is actually the new show coming out. I can't wait.
Oh my god, it's a
great. Scooped it. We scooped it.
We're so upset.
So pivoting a little bit, like what do you in terms of your competition, it's basically people who post pictures of succulents and pet Instagrams. So like how do you combat how do you pit a child against a plant and or like a cute, like a broken dog?
Yeah.
I know. Honestly, people love plants. It's like post more. I think the thing that really you need to do is just find what makes that child special and really lean into that because I think people just love specific types of children. Like maybe it looks like a little conductor all the time or maybe it's,
what?
It has glasses. Whatever the child's specific thing is, you work that angle and then that's the child you get.
So, for example, let's say, like, there's a little boy. His name is Evan, and he's 4, and he has freckles. And it's he's pit up against a pit bull named Lucy, who her thing is that she can spread her body so flat on the grass. How would you compete, Evan, with Lucy?
Well, I would hope that there's some cross promotion opportunities because, wow, that dog sounds awesome.
Right? Oh, my God. I love Lucy so much. I love all the pictures of her. She's like,
splayed.
Yeah.
And you're like, what's that rug? And you're like, it's not a rug. It's a dog.
That's a dog.
It's Lucy.
It's Lucy the dog.
That's fun.
How would you compete Evan with Lucy?
I would maybe pose Evan like Lucy, do some lookalike posts, steal the strategy, and just keep running. Because my thing is you just keep running.
That's great. Because when you meme something, you think you make the original thing more popular, but actually what you're doing is completely diluting what's special about the person.
And that's where I come in. That's what I do best.
You were the one who brought planking to babies.
I brought, and because they sleep like that. That's just how they are.
They shouldn't. Yeah,
they shouldn't.
Because they don't have the upper body strength.
Well, there's like a thing that you should
they really should deliberately not be placed to sleep on their stomachs. But
if you're going to like, make sure there's like a bunch of blankets.
Yeah, brand it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got a question, which is, you know, at an early age, children are only attracted to other children who give them validation. Now, you're just kicking that up 1,000 notches.
Yeah.
How do you teach social media to children, you know, so that they only value friends who like them?
I mean, I know from my experience that in real life, most people don't like me. They don't like what I have to say. They'll usually respond with, don't say that, or please, why? And so for me, like, social media has been really great because I can figure out what people want to hear and just post that. So I'd say that's really important because most people probably won't like these kids. They're very strange from the way they've been raised. And they're people don't like social media babies. So I think the real thing is, like, it's not going to work in real life. It's like, let's make it work on the internet.
Wow.
I just love being a mom.
Yeah.
I like keep forgetting you're a mom. It's crazy.
It's funny. I do too. I do. I forget.
Now, so, okay. Next question. And I just want to say I respect your belief that children are real.
Thanks.
And I don't want you to make that feel minimized. Like, just we can come from two different places and like still have a conversation.
I mean, this is maturity.
Yeah. So that said, like, how do you teach social media to children who are already better at it than you are as an adult?
Oh, I know. Like, honestly, if you guys aren't following Little Mason Jar Madison on Instagram, you are making a mistake. Like, this kid is a savant. He came out the womb, like, tweeting. And I looked at him and I said, how can I help you? How can I help you? And he taught me so much. And I mean, the main thing that I just, some people say that I don't need to have this job. Some people say kids have too much exposure to social media and they already know how to do it and you don't need to do it. You're an adult. But I say, let's figure out a way to add a couple hashtags at least. And that's what you do. You just you throw in a hashtag and then you charge the family $3,000.
That's amazing.
Wow. That's really inspirational because you started out working with wealthy adults, but now you're working with wealthy children.
I love wealthy children. I was started with the adults and I would really help coach them through their pregnancies and be there. Actually, what happened, the way it transitioned was I would be in the delivery room and I would get the sense of the child's brand as it was being born. And from there, we'd build a strategy. And I started just wandering around and I went to the neonatal unit. And I met all these great kids with stories to tell. And that's where I started my business. And like, yes, like small women business. Amazing. I mean, can we get behind it? Yeah.
Can I just say, and I want you to know that I mean this from the very bottom of my heart, you are so completely disgusting, and I just so detest everything you stand for.
Oh, my God.
And I
and
think
if
that,
I have a kid, I would hire you in, like, a second.
Yeah, oh, my God. Yeah,
the results are there. I'm not liked. I am not liked.
Everyone, please give it up for Nina Bluss.
Yes. Thank you, Nina.
Nina, we're going to keep you backstage for a little bit because we know you have some work that you need to get done, but we're going to bring you back in a little bit because we have something that we need to do, and it is called
The Mouthwash.
Okay, this is where we take the latest Reductus headlines, chew them up, spit them out, light it up a cigarette, hop on our boyfriend's motorcycles, and then ride off into the sunset. See ya, suckers.
So today we'll be talking about something super spooky. And I'm just really frightened.
I like don't like know what it is, but I'm scared.
This Reductress headline that we're dealing with today is called "These Women All Painted This Exact Same Picture While Drinking Wine" by Jessie McGarry.
Oh my God, that is so spooky.
Is it not so spooky?
It's so spooky.
It's like these women are haunted.
What are the chances that this could happen to every single woman in the same room? I ask you.
I mean, it's just so, it's like maybe they're under mind control and there's someone who's like sending messages to them to like do it. And they're all just following the person's lead, you know?
Like what if they like never liked painting and they like were also just like, maybe not a drink for me tonight. But then they are all like implanted with an alien fetus. And then they all were like, let's go to this room. And then next thing they know, they're all painting a moon with a tree underneath it.
Like, what the F, you
like,
know,
what
like
the F.
What the Frank, you
yeah,
know,
like the,
what oh, is it? Yeah. And like, for me, it's just so scary because like maybe these women all like minored in art history, but they still want to tap into their creative side,
because
even though
they majored in psychology and they were like, that was a mistake.
Yeah. And then they became an actuary,
yeah.
You know, because their dad owns an actuarial firm. It's just so scary.
It's just
you know?
So scary because you don't know why it's happening.
Really scary.
And you don't know if it can happen to you.
I'm also like not convinced that art isn't ghosts.
What do you mean?
Because it's a thing that isn't there but was. Like if you're painting a lake.
Okay.
And then you're not at the lake anymore.
Okay.
But the painting is still of the lake.
Right.
And then like a developer covers up the lake to make room for like a reservoir.
Okay.
It's a ghost.
I'm literally so afraid right now. I'm gonna disintegrate.
Okay. Well, we should move on then, because I honestly don't want to scoop y'all up together again, because it takes forever.
It takes forever.
It takes forever.
The super glue, it's too big.
It's too big for you. So we're going to get going a little bit along with this. Our next guest is our guest, we're so happy to have her guesting. She is a really funny comedian and writer, and she hosts a great show called Tinder Live. So please give a warm welcome to Lane Moore.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for being here.
I was just going to wait that out for forever.
Honestly, that's the only way.
It would have taken forever, yeah.
Yeah. We, like, don't feel time.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for coming. We know that... So you date. You're a person who dates, right? At all.
I'm a person who's dated.
You're, like, an online dating expert.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. It's not, like, the way I saw my life going, but it's true.
Cool. We've been talking about leaning up today, which is basically like leaning in, except for it's our version, so it's better.
Yeah, it's like a little different.
So we were wondering, like, how do you lean up on Tinder?
What?
Without super liking on accident.
Yeah.
So I'm probably the only one who feels this way, but I still don't totally understand what leaning up means.
Oh, we'll explain it at
like
the same time really fast.
It's like you're on the floor and you're talking to the guy at the front desk and he's like, they're in the fourth floor and you're like, no, they're not there. And there's a ladder there and you're like, oh, don't worry about me, I know what I'm doing. And someone's like, do you need help? I think I get it. Someone's like, do you need help? I got there. It's like a thing.
It's like,
I got there.
So like, how do you lean up on Tinder so you make it work for you?
How can you like maximize who you are in a way that is like not meaningful?
From a high altitude.
Okay. So you can send. So the sad and wonderful thing that I have learned via Tinder Live is I had a theory basically when I started the show that men didn't really want women who had like thoughts or opinions or jokes or personality or a soul.
Oh, that's true for sure.
No, it's definitely true.
Yeah.
I know.
And thank God. Like, what are they, women? You
know? Yeah.
Like,
I don't know.
I'm not
deaf
gay.
Not.
Yeah.
Deaf not. So I like created a character who was just like a series of emojis and like undiagnosed mental illness.
Cool.
And,
like, oh my God, that's me.
There you, she's you.
Deb, yeah. No.
Stop catfishing me.
With you.
Yeah. Don't catfish me with myself. Yeah, that's rude.
I wouldn't dare. Okay, and she's like basically like she's drunk and crazy and freshly 18 and like just like really nuts. But the thing is, like, guys fucking love her. Like, my like jokes and like wit and like open heart like die on Tinder. They like die on all like all dating apps. But like this girl like fucking kills it. Like, I can say that I'm like stuck in a bunker in the woods and there's like, where's the bunker? You sound chill. Like, it's like, because
she's
it.
18.
Because she's like 18.
Does her
and
age
that's
doesn't?
Huge.
I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters. She's been a lot of ages.
Oh,
so, honestly,
so have we.
Yeah. That's like
it's
hugely
weird.
Resonant.
It's like one after the other, and you're like, I've got depth.
Are we doing this? Yeah. You know? I contain multitudes.
Yeah.
So what's your
we're
favorite?
Regular Whitmans.
We are. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite opening line to use on Tinder?
Oh, I mean, I tailor it for each person.
Brave.
So if it were someone named Taylor.
Maybe I would just say this is a tailored response and then like go from there.
That's so cool.
And if he just thought like, wow, what a visionary.
Because you let him,
we
he knows that it's custom.
He knows that it's custom for him.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to send someone, this is a Steved.
No, they don't, understand.
No, that would be weird. I think he'd still be into it.
I think so too. I could explain
Let's just
that.
Say, for example, okay, so it's like, it's a guy, his name is Graham, and he's 32, and he's the director of creative strategy for a, like a light bulb factory.
Wait, you're not legally allowed to speak about Graham.
I'm not speaking, I'm talking.
Okay. Honestly, can't argue with that.
So, what would you, and Graham, and he's like 5'8", and he's got red hair and like too many arms.
He has two arms.
Too many. Don't waste my time.
Okay, but what else does this profile say? Because if he's a dude on Tinder, I can almost guarantee there's some, like, bizarre shit he also says on his profile.
It says, don't swipe right if you don't want a message. What the F is that about? I love skiing, traveling, playing outside.
He loves to play
outside. He loves to play outside. He loves his recreational free time at his like housing community.
Honestly,
like,
I love it when a guy on Tinder just straight up tells me what is true, which is like, I love recess.
Like anytime I go to the suburbs and I see a man just sort of like flailing on the front lawn, I'm like, thank you. You know?
Yeah. What about a boy who just like loves otter pops and playing outside and he loves summer and school drools?
Okay.
It's my nephew.
Are you trying to connect with your nephew on Tinder?
No, he drowned. No.
Okay, well.
Why would
sometimes
we try to date
still
her dead nephew?
They were deleted and you can still interact with them. So.
He didn't drown. He choked on water.
Right. To be clear. All right.
We were having a drinking contest. And he like totally ate it.
And he was like, I'll show you.
He biffed the whole thing. And then he choked on water. And then next thing I knew, an ambulance was taking him straight to the cemetery.
They were like, do you want like ambulance or ambulance
pool? We were like, cut out the middleman.
Cut it out. We just...
Honestly, I miss him every time his birthday comes up on Facebook.
So,
anyway,
so do you still want to? Do you want me to answer that question?
I honestly don't think you should.
No. I don't think so either.
Okay, here's another question that you can do instead. Okay. What's the worst date you've ever been on, and why did you ghost me?
Is that a question from you or just like someone in the world?
It was submitted to us anonymously via Twitter, but I am the one asking it. Does that answer the question?
Sure. I feel like if I ask for more information, I won't get it. So
that is correct.
I know. I'm learning quickly. Okay, so what was the worst date I've ever been on? There have been so many. My favorite one that I hate is with a lawyer. And it's not just because they're lawyers. Like, I'm sure there's like lawyers who are like dope as hell, but this one, no. So we met up, and this was in the infancy of my Tinder experience, and I didn't know the red flags, I didn't know the rules, I didn't know the little things that guys do to make you be like, I'm a good guy, and you're like, that means the opposite of that. I didn't know all the things I know now. And so,
yeah, this, men are like Rumpelstiltskin. Like, yeah. they're full of verbal tricks.
It really is, though.
And literally, they like won't tell you their last name unless they are certain you aren't going to get them killed.
And then once you say it, they like turn into a windmill or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't really remember.
So
don't spoil the ending of my story.
Sorry, he turned into a windmill. Oh my God. We dated the same guy. So okay, so this guy, you don't know what you're doing yet.
Yeah, no, I didn't know. Well, okay, so his profile, I remember it very clearly. He had a flannel shirt on, and I was like, oh, you're like outdoorsy or alive in Brooklyn.
Or an improviser.
Either one. And, but then his profile says something like, I don't know, it said like something Ron Swanson. And I was like, oh, sweet. Like Ron Swanson. Like, and this is years ago. Okay. So like, just think of the knowledge bank I have now that I did not have then. So he said Ron Swanson, and in my brain, I thought, oh, I'm new to Tinder. There's probably like tons of like awesome people who like, they're just good guys everywhere. Just can't miss them. And this is probably one of them because he says Ron Swanson, and Ron Swanson on Parks and Recreation is this like awesome feminist who like loves strong women and like is cute and likes other stuff. That's what I thought. But so then I went on, I was like, we're talking, and I was like, oh my God, what a cool guy. We're going to have like such a fun conversation and date. No. So I showed up at the bar, and like, I don't know how this stuff came up. Like, whenever I've told people about this date, they always ask how these things came up, but they just came up. He just immediately started talking about like how he had lesbian ex-girlfriends who he turned straight by fucking them. So cool. It was like, it was just off to the races. Like, we were already just like on a track that I was gonna hate, and then it just got like worse. He also used the sentence, okay, don't even start with any of that trans bullshit. It was like someone was trolling me with all of the worst things in one man.
Those are terrible, but I will say that there are dicks out there that can change your mind about certain things. Not your sexuality, but yeah. There are some dicks that can replace a college education, if you know what I mean.
I do, yeah. Like, I used to be super into not shoplifting, and then that sucks. Was he maybe anti-trams because he had a bad experience with, like, a monorail?
No, definitely not. He also said some things that, like...
Yeah, did he say, don't start with that tram shit?
definitely not. No. Oh,
that's okay. Too bad. That's
I feel like
bad.
He was a tram supporter.
Okay.
Probably.
That's a problem.
Because of that. And then, like, there was also, like, since he was a lawyer, he had that, like, I tried to tell him, he said something that, like, just, like, been a really hard week for, like, people, but especially women. So, like, I almost don't even want to say some of the things that he said because they were so fucking intense and, like.
You can sign them instead. People on the podcast won't be able to understand
yeah, just
it,
use
but
American
we will.
Sign language.
What if I just, like, emote what he said and then we can feel it?
We would love that.
Can
yeah.
I?
Yeah.
Yeah, do it. She's going, whoa.
Yeah,
what?
it's too much.
Oh, no.
And you're crying.
She's crying.
And it's just like, and you're dancing. Getting out of there.
Oh,
you're
punching.
Like, I gotta go.
She's punching. Wow. That sounds awful.
So you get it.
We totally got it.
I'm sorry that that happened to you.
Oh, it's fine. We like awkwardly hugged. And then at the end, he told me, well, just, you know, if you're going to have like an argument and say something like that, that you claim is true, you need facts, and then cut on the tree.
He sounds like a lawyer.
Yeah, he sounds like a lawyer for sure.
Yeah, so it was like the most ridiculous, like, oh, sexism exists? Prove it. I want numbers. He like literally said stuff like that.
Honestly.
Ah, like, oh, what a fun date.
When men see their lives like flashing before their eyes because they're losing in an argument, they start just shouting for statistics.
Yeah.
Even if you're in a scenario where statistics aren't applicable.
If you're
it's
passing.
Like, they don't like the feelings. Yeah. It hurt my feelings that you cheated on me. They're going to be like, show me the numbers.
Yeah,
I don't believe it.
And this is good to keep in mind. If you ever see a man who's like in danger, like he's fallen on the train tracks, just start shouting statistics at him.
Be like,
1 in 4 people will get genital herpes at some point in their lifetime.
There were 12,000 instances of track fires due to litter last year.
You need to show him a link. So that's tough. So you have to make sure you have Wi-Fi because they're going to need to see a link.
And like, make sure it's from a reliable source, because if your sourcing is shoddy, then why aren't you calling someone to help them off the train tracks?
Yeah.
So you were on Girls.
Yeah.
And you also sometimes like Girls. How does that work?
How do you
manage?
I've
never heard a smoother transition.
How do you manage? Yeah. No, they're not. They are completely related. How do you manage both? You don't want to know about one or the other. Like, how do you do both?
I also appreciate sometimes like Girls.
Honestly, it's like, because like in your moment, it's like, what is that moment? And it's like, I'm eating a BLT. And then it's like, you don't have to worry about the fact that you grabbed it off someone's plate. You know, like it's about the moment.
Yeah.
Is that your sexuality?
Yeah. I identify as BLT. And sometimes a little A.
Avocado.
Oh, I got there.
So, like, what was it like working on a television show that wasn't Fox's hit crime drama, Bones?
This is one thing. We love
Bones.
We love the main character.
His name is Dr. Bones.
Dr. Bones.
And then David Boreanaz is in there as Mr. Bones.
So, anyway, you were on a show that wasn't Bones, but it was also pretty good. Also, sometimes you like women. So, how does that all interlock?
And when you were working on Girls, did they have any bones?
I don't, not visibly.
Oh.
Maybe in a bag.
Does Lena Dunham have bones? Oh, bone bag. Does Lena Dunham have bones?
I can't confirm that. I don't want to confirm that. It's spread a rumor.
Do you think she does?
I think she does.
I love her.
I love Bones. Bones wasn't nominated for any Emmys this year. And as you know, therefore, the Academy who does Emmys has become the number one enemy of mouth time, because any enemy of Bones is an enemy of mouth time and Reductress, who owns Reductress.
So if you worked for the American Academy of Emmy Sciences, get the
fuck out of here. Get the fuck out. I'm sorry, I blacked out.
Sorry, we blacked out.
Okay, so I tend to fear women. What's it like dating them?
You can do both.
That's a really good mantra. I have that for when it's like, am I going to do 16 pickleback shots without the whiskey, or am I going to do ayahuasca? It's like, you can do both.
Right. Yeah.
We've got one last question for you, which is, if you had to sit next to someone at a gala, would you rather sit next to Ivanka or Melania Trump? And what's like the passive aggressive backhanded compliment that you would give?
Oh my God.
Like, you're literally in the room with them and all of your politics melt away because there's a famous person. Like, what would you're like, you're my favorite person, but it's like, they're just famous. Like, what would you say?
Okay. All right. I feel like I would talk to Melania.
Good.
Because I just like, right. She's like more accessible. And I feel like the first thing I would say is, okay, but like, you get it, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what I was like, you get it. Like, don't act like you don't get it. Like, you get, like, you're
she
inside,
literally,
you see it. You see all this and you get it, but you're like, you can't say anything. It's like working inside the machine.
Yeah,
you know?
She speaks five languages.
I'd say all of that.
She gets
it. She speaks five languages.
That is literally five more languages than I speak.
Yeah. You just sort of go, and like all of us, you're so pretty that we just sort of interpret it into language. So that's really good. We're having such a friggin' blast.
Friggin' blast.
So
at this point, we wanna bring Nina Bless back on stage.
Nina! Get up here, girl. Oh, that's fun. What have you been doing this time off stage?
Oh, my God. I don't want to talk. This is totally fine. There's no Wi-Fi.
Oh, we're so sorry.
People can't see this because this is a podcast, but you literally have blood coming out of your eyes.
It's been really strange. I looked in a mirror and it cracked and this happened. So I was just walking in circles chanting.
Cool. So we were hoping you guys would play a game with us.
Oh, fun. Okay.
And this game is called
Two Truths and a Cry for Help. Okay. So basically, we're going to tell you three things and you have to figure out which ones are facts and which one is a cry for help.
Okay, first one. I accidentally lost my bikini bottoms during doing a cannonball at camp at age 13.
Number two.
I once found a four-leaf clover in a can of Coke.
Number three.
And I can't stop thinking about hurting myself and or others.
That one for me was a quick, the third one.
That one,
I that's got correct.
That's correct. That is a cry for help.
That was good.
Yeah.
Okay, Nina, see if you can get this one.
Okay. So we're going to breeze past that.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. We're not
going to just examples.
I just wanted to make sure.
Oh, okay, fine. Fine. We'll go into it, okay? We'll friggin' go into it. Yeah, I crack open a can of Coke and there's a friggin' four-leaf clover in there.
That's insane. That's insane.
And I called the number and I was like, stop giving me luck. I'm trying to die. We are a Pepsi office.
Yeah.
All right,
next one for Nina.
Okay. One. I once grew 3 inches in a single year.
Oh, that's got to be
That's the only time I've ever grown. Two, I dated a guy named Tom Hanks who wasn't the real Tom Hanks. He was Tom Hanks' son. And three, I carry a full bottle of Ambien with me at all times.
Hmm, interesting. Good. My memory is shot because of all the social media I do, so I don't really remember the first one. But I'm going to say... I mean, honestly, if you went out with someone who isn't Tom Hanks, that's crazy. Like, you should only date Tom Hanks.
But they have the same name, so the SEO is, like, off the charts.
It's off the charts. And if he committed a crime, you probably wouldn't even surface. So I would say... I'd say number two, strong number two on that.
Okay, wow. The cry for help is actually that I carry a full bottle of Ambien with me at all times.
Yeah, and it's like it's barely a cry for help.
It's barely a cry for help. It's just like I have it just in case I want to kill myself.
Also, like,
just in case.
Just never in know. Case.
Also, like for me, like if you're trying to kill yourself with pills, it's like you're fucking amateur. Get out of my face. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's death by cop or nothing.
Right.
Yeah. Read my book.
Okay.
My book is a book that's cut out and there's a gun in it.
Yeah.
Ooh. Not a real gun. The gun is a book.
Yeah. Cool. Keep up.
That's okay. Right, because reading is a weapon or something.
Yeah. Knowledge is power.
I got it. Okay, want to take the next one, Deb?
This is such a fun game.
I love it.
I love this.
All right, first beat. Okay, first one. I eat something with peanut butter in it almost every day.
You're so bad.
I'm so bad. I cried at the ending of Titanic when she threw the necklace away.
You're so bad.
And I feel so alone.
You're so bad.
It's like a tie between the first one and the third one for me.
That is correct. This one was one truth and two cries for help. Because it's like peanut butter. Like, give yourself the nuts. You deserve it. Why are you doing this, you know? Give yourself the whole nut.
Yeah.
No need to involve cottonseed oil in this.
Okay. Here's the next one. One, I'm allergic to imported silk. Two... I once tried to sneak onto a spaceship before launch, but it turned out it was just a replica spaceship, so it was fine. And three, I shaved all my body hair off and mailed it to my dad.
These are getting harder. I don't want to sound stupid and say the wrong one. I think, like, getting on a spaceship sounds like, oh, I want attention.
That is correct, but they also are all cries for help. They're all loud cries for help. Yeah, if you're ever allergic to imported silk, someone needs to take you to the hospital.
Yeah. If you're using silkworms from this country, it's like,
what are you doing?
That is the end of the game, as you can tell, because... It's
we
over.
Have that tone in our voice.
I just said it. So this brings us to my favorite segment, and it is called
Spill It.
And this is just where you, like, brag about the things that are going okay for you in a socially acceptable way. So, Quinn, what do you have to plug about?
Okay, all of next week, I'm going to be going back in time to redo this week because this week was just too much fun.
Oh,
so honestly, just join me at all the places you saw me this week again next week, and see you there.
Love it.
Yeah.
And for me, I will be fountain diving for Bloodsport.
That sounds so good.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's this thing I'm working on. Nina, what do you have to plug?
Oh, I have to plug the fact that I'm so busy. I am just so, so busy, and I don't have time for things that other people seem to find time for. I'm busier.
And
amazing.
It, yeah, that's good. Do you have any like weird like alternative comedy shows that you're into that maybe you would like sort of weirdly mention now in a way that's like not relatable?
Oh, interesting. Like ones that I don't do as Nina.
Right. Yeah. That you just sort of like whenever
you, like,
you're
maybe
in New York.
To attend or you know someone who does.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. I know this bitch who does the Female Gaze at UCB, which is a monthly show with like 15 million women. And I think that would be like a really good place for someone who wasn't repulsed by me to go see more of something similar.
Amazing.
Thank you so much.
Good plug.
Amazing. Good plug. And Lane, where can people find you?
Everywhere. I do a monthly show at the Bell House called Tinder Live. Mm-hmm. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Hello Lane Moore. And all of the places. Those are all the places.
Amazing. Thank you everyone so much for coming out to this live podcast. If you pre-ordered a book, you can get a free Reductress tote. They're big and they're comfy.
They're so good. They're like so long good. And wide.
So, and we also will be selling, doing some like merch stuff out in the hallway, and also come chat with us after the show.
Participate in commerce.
Please do. If you're listening to this, thank you so, so much for pre-ordering our book. It really means a lot to us, and we hope that you spread the word when you get it and tell your friends to buy it as well.
And like press the book to your cheek, and that's us kissing
that's
you.
Us kissing you.
But like, don't take it in a weird way.
Yeah. Tune in next week where we tear down a forest of trees and count the rings to remind ourselves how young we are.
So
thank you guys so much.
Thank you. Bye.